listening to healthradio.fm. I'm your host, Tammy Lynn McNabb. I have with me today Dr. Tim Bilkey. Dr. Bilkey is an adult psychiatrist and a member of the Canadian Psychiatric Association, the American Psychiatric Association, and the Canadian Society of Addiction Medicine. But you've also treated a number of adolescents and adults for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, which I swear I probably have, better known as ADHD. Being the entrepreneur that I am, welcome to the show, Doctor.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Now, we know that this coming week is Global Entrepreneur Week. How does it tie in with what you're doing as a doctor?
Well, we know in terms of adult ADHD that there are challenges in the area of focus, keeping your concentration in highly repetitive, boring tasks. So in the workplace, we see people struggle with administrative types of duties. I mean, for example, professionally, I don't have bookkeepers or chartered accountants. On the other side of it, people with ADHD, because they have quick minds, their abilities flourish more in an entrepreneurial setting. So thinking outside the box, coming up with novel ways of solving problems and so forth. That's all very important. So that's what I'm talking about this week.
Dr. Bilkey, is there not a quick way, but is there a relatively easy way for someone to know if they do have ADHD, especially as an adult?
It's a great question. So, you know, many people think about ADHD as being sort of like a grown-up Bart Simpson, and that's not really right. So the predominating symptoms for adults would be distractibility, forgetfulness, and procrastination. Secondarily, they can be kind of scattered, a little novelty-seeking, mm-hmm. but the core symptoms are more distractibility, and that, again, can affect people in the workplace. The World Health Organization has documented up to 22 days of lost job performance with untreated ADHD because people get sidetracked, or they may forget duties, hard to set priorities. So those are the kind of core symptoms. People with ADHD also, however, can be prone to addiction, so we're always on the hunt for cigarette smokers and all kinds of things.
Now, in an age of quick fixes and medicine, when someone has ADHD, is there a way of fixing it or correcting it? What happens?
Well, it's a little bit like asthma, Tammy. So it's symptomatic, what we call symptomatic treatment. So it's kind of like asthma. As long as you're taking your medicine, things improve. In our book, we talk a lot about medication, but very importantly, non-medication types of interventions. So it's really important, since I think everybody can be a little bit different with their version of ADHD, it's really important to know initially where the symptoms are coming and going, where they would have impact. So once you've got that, we call those critical moments. Once a person has those moments identified, then there's other things, including medicine, but cognitive behavioral therapy is evidence-based, mindfulness, adopting new habits. There's a whole host of important non-drug strategies.
Can you elaborate more on a couple of those points?
So cognitive behavioral therapy is something where people often, if you've had a lifelong, you know, series of misfires and unintentional problems, people start to feel quite negative. They have negative self-talk. They criticize themselves. So cognitive behavioral therapy teaches them how to stop that process and offer better explanations for the current situation. Mindfulness is a, you know, it's popular now in terms of addictions and anxiety and depression, but it's very important for people to be able, with adult ADHD, to study the way their concentration goes, and when they notice that they are distractible, to bring themselves back in a non-judgmental, relaxed fashion. So all of these things work very much.
And I guess they're probably, and I'm not joking when I say I probably have ADHD, because I probably do.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I'm a lifelong entrepreneur. I work best, in chaotic situations. But
right.
There's certainly, I'm sure still a huge amount of stigma attached to anything that relates to the brain and how the brain operates in a positive, maybe, or a negative way. How do you get people who maybe are embarrassed sort of on track to getting themselves tested?
Well, it's highly heritable, so 80% genetic, so there's usually somebody else in the family who may have been identified. in adulthood, you know, there's a number of very famous people, entrepreneurial people, Richard Branson, they has ADHD, Adam Levine from Maroon 5 has it. He's come out on YouTube, talked about ADHD, which kind of normalizes the situation. Howie Mandel, he did a forward for us in our book. And again, he talks about, I've got some of these traits. And what he says is really powerful. He says, look, if you think you've got some of these traits, go to your doctor because you can get help. You can get it essentially fixed. Trudy Styler, who's married to Sting, she has ADHD, and she's come out and talked about how women often get missed with this diagnosis. So I think the more that we get people coming out and talking about it, you know, it sort of destigmatizes the situation.
Well, I've lived with this my entire life. And it doesn't seem to be, I don't have any addictions, I'm successful in work, I'm saying me, but in general, what would be the motivation then to go ahead and have this assessed and treated?
Well, it's a great question. People have to be impacted in a couple of different areas to qualify for the diagnosis. So again, in the book, Fast Minds, we argue that we could all have some of these dimensional traits, but to have the actual diagnosis, it has to have taken away from that person's potential. So within the workplace, taking too long to get things done, being easily sidetracked, being passed over for promotion, or getting things done but taking up huge amounts of energy and time to do this. Driving records can be impacted. Untreated ADHD can affect relationships. There's a higher divorce rate amongst people with ADHD because of some of the traits. So we have, when we assess people, we have to make sure that it has been impactful, and then the treatments would be suggested at that point.
Now, it says in your bio that you have a passion towards women in the work you do. Why is that, and what are you doing?
Well, I think, you know, women get short shrift in lots of ways in medicine. I think ADD is an example. The thing with ADHD is that, I mean, the symptoms are very subtle. And so it can go missed. But often females are very bright. They get it. They're sitting in class. They sort of can be daydreaming, but they get what's going on. But as you follow her longitudinally, when she gets to college and university, she starts to underachieve. So I think most people don't think about women with this condition, but in fact, we see just as many women as we do men. So in a way to make it more obvious that this is it's a equal opportunity kind of condition, and that kind of awareness is important.
Why does she underachieve at that given point in university or college?
Well, you know, if you're very smart, it's the amount of effort, though, it might take to stay on track. So, for example, ADHD classically will take away from a person's academic potential. So a young woman may well graduate, say she gets a three-year degree in something, but what if she was going to go to Yale and do law school? So she's had to settle. A lot of women will say that they feel flawed with this. So once she gets married, has kids, has a partner and all of that, they look at their friends and say, I don't know how they do all of these things. It's called cognitive loading. So these other women are able to handle all of the expectations of a woman, and they patients with untreated ADHD will say, I don't know how they do it, or they will restrict their lives. So they're functioning only in one or two domains because they feel as if they can't do the whole thing.
But it must be exhausting mentally at a given point, especially for, I think, if you're younger, and you're not as aware of yourself and your mind and your body, it must be exhausting for somebody who has ADHD.
Just the ability, for example, if you're sitting in a class and you have to split your attention between what's being said at the front of the room and then writing it down or keyboarding or whatever, just that simple function for people with ADHD. They struggle a great deal. I've got lots of university students that just gave up taking notes. The energy it takes to keep your focus, to block out other things around you. So I have people who sit in a university class and they've got their iPod on, they're playing music very quietly to block out things around them. Or when they study, they have to put in earplugs. So it's called compensatory burden. It's the amount of energy and effort that people have to put into their lives to look as if they're functioning fine, when in fact they may be just struggling tremendously.
Does it affect their sleep as well? I mean, does the noise continue as they're sleeping?
Yeah, sure. If you've got a fast mind, just because you switch off the light doesn't mean your brain is going to go to sleep. So, and if you're highly distractible through the day, then people will resort to studying like at 3 o'clock in the morning or something because it's finally quiet. But that means that they get this very disturbed 24-hour cycle. So they become night owls. Getting up in the morning is a problem. Eating meals regularly, all the sort of normal things that we think about can be quite disturbed in somebody with ADHD.
Now, if somebody has been tested and they are dead border 50%, my son, for example, I always thought he was brilliant. So we took him to a psychiatrist and had him tested for a number of things because he was easily distracted. He would act compulsive at times in class, which for, I think, a younger teacher, maybe is more irritated by it. And my son, literally, all of his tests sat him at exactly 50%. He hit 99.9 percentile for math for his age group, off the charts. But he can't sleep well, acts compulsive at school, where if he knows the answer, he has to blurt it out. Sweetest kid you'll ever meet, but he sits right at 50%. So he was not suggested being treated because of that. What do you think?
Well, the way we diagnose it is according to the DSM-5, which is this diagnostic statistical manual. It has all of the various medical conditions there. And they do talk about mild, moderate, severe ADHD. In my practice, I tend to avoid the borderline diagnosis. I mean, I recently had somebody who had an exhaustive psychoeducational evaluation. At the end of it, they said, "You're borderline gifted." Mm-hmm. And this guy was pretty good with it until I said, "You know what? I'm not even sure what that means. It means like, what, you're almost a very smart person."
Yes,
so
exactly.
Borderline to me, like borderline pregnancy, borderline heart attack, yeah, those things don't really exist. So we give people the benefit of the doubt, give them informed consent, which is to tell them all about the treatments out there. But I'm not going to wait around for one or two more percentiles before I'm going to jump in and say that I think you need help. Even a small amount, a mild degree of ADHD could take away from that person's potential. It's kind of like saying they've got mild asthma. Yeah, but it may be impacting on them. And so to give people a chance.
Let's talk about your book, your current one. Is that the Fast Minds? Is that the current one?
It's Fast Minds, How to Thrive If You Have ADHD or Think You Might.
Talk a bit about that.
Well, I have a Fast Minds program, which was nationally accredited. It was to help family doctors better recognize ADHD. But then I was approached by Harvard Medical School to write this book with my co-author, Craig Sermon. And it's been shaped, and our writer is Karen Weintraub. It was shaped so that people could better recognize what ADHD looks like. So Fast Minds is actually an acronym, you know, for the symptoms. So forgetful, underachieving, stuck, time challenged, motivationally challenged, which is, you know, coming late for stuff, impulsive, novelty seeking, distractible. If people have ADHD, within the first two or three chapters, they can identify some of these symptoms. We've also written it so that it's for someone who's in a relationship with an adult. So the questions would be, are you forgetful? Are you stuck? And then another series of questions, is he forgetful? Is he, she stuck? That kind of thing. So it helps with a 360 perspective on what this really looks like. And then we go forward from there and talk about what really works, what sort of treatments make the best difference, biggest difference for people. The other thing that I think is helpful is that people can choose their own version, because if you had Howie Mandel and Adam Levine and Trudy Styler all in one room, they could look quite different. They'd have different versions of ADHD. So in our book, you can self-select for those particular traits that are challenging and then the kinds of treatments which make the most sense for you.
Now, the Fast Minds, is it for doctors, or can the average person read the book as well?
No, we wrote it specifically for the average person. Anybody should be able to pick this up and identify with how we've written it. It's for clinicians. We recently had another review, the New England Psychologist, and they sort of like the acronym because it's helpful for clinicians, you know, to remember what the symptoms are instead of, you know, memorizing the DSM-5 or something. But So it's readable. It's for everyone.
And where can somebody find your book?
Amazon.com. Any of the Barnes & Noble, any large bookstore will have it right throughout North America. And actually, we've just sold the rights to a Tokyo publisher, so it's going to be published in Japan as well.
Oh, that's fantastic. What is your website address, Dr. Bilkey?
Website is timbilkeymd.com. And I'm at Twitter at Dr. Tim Bilkey, and Tumblr, ADHDFastMinds.tumblr.com.
And Bilkey is B-I-L-K-E-Y. Dr. Tim Bilkey, thank you so much for being on Health Rated on FM.
Thanks for having me. It was a great pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you.